Greg has joined, and we are currently in the middle of some awesome football action.
Yeah, it's the fourth quarter. We are watching Minnesota blow it after blowing it all game and then not blowing it mysteriously for a while.
Down 33 to nothing at halftime. Come back, it's 36 to 28 with 2.5 minutes left.
Colts are going to Colts, man. Colts are going to Colts. So,
hey, this is episode 62.
62. What a number. So let's not even, you know, waste any time. Let's get right after it. So you said you have two guys, right?
Yeah. I can start with one guy. It's kind of short. I just wanted to toss him out there because he's a former Chicago Bear. Mr. Mark Bortz.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, drafted by the Bears in 1983. And actually, 1983 is considered one of the best draft classes of all time.
Yeah.
As we all know. Former player who we profiled was also drafted that year. Tom Thayer was in that draft class. He's a two-time Pro Bowler. Also 1985 Chicago Bears Super Bowl champ.
Absolutely.
His one claim to fame, he holds the record for any Chicago Bears player to have 13 playoff appearances.
Wow.
Yeah. Mark Bortz.
He was a Hawkeye too, right?
Yeah. Went to University of Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, you know what I remember about Mark Bortz is that, like, when he was in the league, he was going insanely bald.
Yeah.
It like it. That dude looked like he was 36 when he was 24. So I do love me some Mark Bortz, Chicago Bears legend. I'll do one and then you can finish us off with the medium one that you have.
Sure.
Okay. So I'm going to break away again from individual players this week to focus on another 62. And the best way to start is by talking about the 1999 Miami Dolphins. All right.
Okay. Interesting.
So they ended the season 9-7. They got into the playoffs over Kansas City due to tiebreakers, but it was like a really weird year. Okay. So they went 9-7, but they started 7-1. All right.
Interesting.
They even had a, you know, Dan Marino, master of the comeback. They had a comeback win over the Colts. But in week 6, shit got weird. All right.
All right.
Dan Marino's first pass of the game, he completed an 8-yard pass to put him over 60,000 career passing yards. Wow. On the next pass, he was hit when he threw. The ball was intercepted and returned for a touchdown. And then the pass after that, he threw the ball, but he short-armed it. So coach Jimmy Johnson took him out of the game because of a suspected injury. So backup quarterback that year, Damon Heward, came in as the starter, and the team went 4-1.
Wow.
All right. Marino came back for the Thanksgiving game and threw 5 interceptions.
Oh, my God.
They went 1-5 after Marino returned. So
too much turkey on Thanksgiving.
I'm saying, so even though this team was a big old wet fart by the end of the season, they still got into the playoffs. So we got the Dolphins. On the other hand, we've got the Jacksonville Jaguars going 14-2 in the regular season. All right.
Okay.
They had Mark Brunell at quarterback, Fred Taylor on as the running back, an incredible defense, Jimmy Smith, Keenan McCardell, Kevin Hardy, Carnell Lake, Donovan Darius. Just like young guns full of it, just ready to go.
Sure.
So you have a team full of up-and-coming talent, and then you've got one with like up-and-coming talent, but also a quarterback who's in his 16th season in football.
I think Dan Marino is like, what, 55 maybe?
Right. So to say that Marino looked like 2022 Tom Brady is a major understatement.
Right.
So Miami wins their wild card matchup in an upset of Seattle 20-17, because this is back when Seattle was still an AFC team.
Uh-huh.
So the Jags had a first round bye. And so the Dolphins and the Jags meet in the divisional round. So my number 62 is the total number of points that the Jaguars put on the Dolphins in this divisional game. Dan Marino's final football game, 62-7.
Oh my God.
a complete ass beating.
Jesus.
All right, so let me give you a little bit of context here. So the Jags score on their first drive. Marino gets picked on their first drive. Jags kick a field goal. Fred Taylor scores on a 90-yard touchdown. And then Marino gets strip sacked, and Tony Bracken scores on literally the funniest fumble return I've ever seen in my life. Like, Marino is sacked, and Bracken recovers it on the ground, and his teammates touch him, so he thinks the play is dead. So he's, like, dancing and celebrating, and his teammates are, like, pushing him towards the end zone, and some guys, like, half-heartedly try to tackle him, and he's dancing and celebrating, and he doesn't realize that he's going to score until he's on, like, the 5-yard line.
Okay.
It was a 25-yard fumble return that took 13 seconds of real time.
Damn.
Jaguars were up 24-0 at the end of the first, and they were up 41-7 at halftime. Mark Brunell and backup Jay Fiedler both threw multiple touchdown passes. Marino left the game due to an injury, and not only was this Dan Marino's last game as a pro, but Jimmy Johnson's last game as a head coach as well. Jacksonville outgained Miami 520-131.
Oh my God.
And forced 7 turnovers.
That deserves a Vikings horn right there.
To this day, it is the second biggest playoff blowout in NFL history, only trailing the 73-0 blowout by the Bears against the Washington Commanders in 1940.
Yeah, we talked about that game. Yep.
So this is my number 62. Jacksonville's 62-7 ending of Dan Marino's career in 1999.
Wow, that's good. That was a good 62.
Right?
I wouldn't have thought to do something like that. Hell yeah. All right. Fuck well, you. Let's wrap this 62 stuff up.
All right.
With the only player in the NFL to be born from the country of Turkey.
Ooh.
Mr. Tunç Ilkin.
Tunç Ilkin.
Yep. First Turkish player in NFL history. I also thought it was cool that when he was 2 years old, his parents emigrated to Chicago.
Okay.
He attended Highland Park High School.
Oh, all right. All right.
Yeah. Famous offensive tackle for the Steelers. Also, after he retired, was also a famous radio and television broadcaster for the Steelers from 1998 until 2020.
Cool.
Yeah, he died just last year.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's sad. Another thing he did after he retired before he got into broadcasting was he was actually the vice president of the NFL Players Association.
Nice.
From 1989 to 94.
Okay.
Yeah. December 21st is the official Tunç Ilkin Day in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's got his own day, dude.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I have a question about Tunç Ilkin for you. Do you think, because you've researched him, I haven't, do you think Tunç Ilkin had a Pittsburgh toilet in his basement?
Most likely, probably.
Okay. Also, by the way, I hate to interrupt our Tunç Ilkin discussion, but I am seeing a tweet from Adam Schefter that Damian Pierce is on IR, so his season is over.
And I'm pretty sure that Minnesota just scored a touchdown.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook on a screen pass.
Anyway, a few more things about Tunç Ilkin. As I said, December 21st is known as Tunç Ilkin Day. With following his retirement for 30 plus years until he died, I thought you'd think this is cool. He's an active supporter and, you know, money giver to the nonprofit, Light of Life Rescue Mission. This is a homeless shelter and addiction recovery ministry in the north side of Pittsburgh.
That's a community guy right there. That's what I'm all about.
He's all about being part of that Pittsburgh community.
Love it.
Unfortunately, like I said, he died last year. He announced that he had ALS I don't know if his brain was ever tested for CTE. It didn't say anything because, like we have said before, you know, a lot of these ALS symptoms mirror CTE. So there's no definitive thing that he died from CTE, but it's definitely ALS. He announced that 6 months before former Chicago Bear Steve McMichael announced his diagnosis with ALS.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. Like, his name is just so unique. And then when I started researching stuff about him, I'm like, oh, this guy was from Turkey.
Right.
Yeah. And then more stuff, he's from Chicago. And so I thought it was really cool.
That's an all-star name, too. Tunç Ilkin. Right. That's
Tunç Ilkin. Yeah.
A plus. All right. So we've had a little smattering of 62s. So now that we've done that, let's pause for ads and we'll be back in, I don't know, however long the ads are. Are you sick of waiting around watching people like Ryan and Tony of TH Fantasy win big bucks every week by playing daily fantasy? Do you live in a state full of restrictive dipshits that refuse to legalize gambling because it offends their moral sensibilities? Well, from the degenerates at the TH Fantasy Podcast Network, I'm here to introduce to you the Vape Pen VPN. Like a 30 milligram hit to the dome of DFS and sportsbooks everywhere, the VapePen VPN allows you to gamble from anywhere in the world. Do you want to hit a three-leg parlay in Pyongyang? Do you want to play over-under in Oslo or Uruguay? Hell, do you want to bet a Cowboys money line from a correctional institution? You can with the VapePen VPN. Just download the app, blow a fat cloud of vapor at your device to unlock it, and make your bets. Your first deposit to FanDuel, DraftKings, or the Silk Road is eligible for a 100% deposit match if you use the code NOTACOP at the login screen. Just remember, if you're a cop, you have to tell me. Otherwise, it's entrapment.
Hello, this is a prepaid collect call from an inmate at Florida Correctional Institution.
I thought for sure my daily fantasy playing was over when I was imprisoned for posting the location data of Elon Musk's children. Since then, I've won thousands thanks to the VapePen VPN. My winnings will help me get my revenge on the justice system that wronged me. Thanks, VapePen VPN.
As a hopeful Senate candidate in a state where the punishment for gambling is death, I'd love the VapePen VPN. I've won enough this season on Jalen Hurts rushing props that I could gerrymander the entire state on my own. Thanks, VapePen VPN.
That's the VapePen VPN. Promo code NOTACOP for a 100% deposit match. The official VPN of the TH Fantasy Podcast Network.
And we're back.
We're back. And it's great because now that we're back, we're actually going to leave in a moment here because we need to pop into the Decision Maker 42,000 to build our Superflex lineup. So, Ryan, you ready to go?
Yeah, you want to build a Superflex?
Let's do it. And we are off.
You like that? You like that?
Okay, we're back. We're back from the decision zone. We have our Superflex lineup. Ryan, go ahead and tell the people about who we got.
All right. I really like this lineup. We did Burrow with Chase. We did Prescott with Schultz and Gallup. We got King Henry. We got Brian Robinson. We got Ogunwale, who's starting for Houston this week and has a pass catching role. There's going to be a lot of checkdowns for Houston, so I feel like that's good. Oh, yeah. So Burrow, Henry, Robinson, Chase, Gallup, Schultz, Ogunwale, and Prescott.
Let's get back into the win column, you know?
Yeah, right.
All right. So with that said, now that we have that done, it's time for what is probably the most important part of the show.
Ryan's mid-tier, kind of shitty, tight end of the week.
Hell yeah. Let those air horns fly for Chig Okonkwo.
All right.
Man, he did so good last week. That was awesome.
I know.
6 catches, 45 yards, and a touchdown. And he could be in line for another good line this week with Burke still out. So, yep. although he's not like shitty tight end anymore, you know, he's still going to be in my relevance standard.
He's elevated to mid tier. You know what I mean? Right. Cause we usually, we call it mid tier, but you go pretty deep on these.
Yeah. Yeah. A deep one actually this week, with Pitts out, guess who is benefiting 2 weeks in a row with a touchdown?
Is it Mecole Pruitt?
Yeah, Mecole Pruitt.
Hell yeah.
2 weeks in a row with a touchdown. I think he could get one again. He's really their only option at tight end.
Yeah. That's a goal line touchdown for sure, because I know San Francisco's usually, or sorry, New Orleans is usually pretty good against the tight end.
Right. Sneaky one this week. If Kansas City goes ahead and they start to sit a lot of their starters, Noah Gray. He actually had 3 targets for 45 yards last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Noah Gray.
Another one, Grant Calcaterra, as Tony just pointed out earlier, Goddard's not going to be playing again.
Yeah.
And he had 4 targets last week.
And the Bears are bad against everybody.
And the shittiest one of the week.
All right.
Trey McBride.
Ooh, Trey McBride against Denver. Okay.
6 targets last week.
Wow.
Yeah. And I believe most of that was with Colt McCoy, right?
Because Kyler was hurt on the 4th play.
Yeah. So it's looking up for a lot of these guys.
Okay. That is the mid-tier kind of shitty tight ends of the week report. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So we're going to go on to the Jamal Agnew line here. Jamal Agnew on FanDuel this week is 5,200. And kind of similar to what you did, like, I want to take a minute to just appreciate that we both hit last week, because Chig Okonkwo and Jameson Williams both scored.
That Jameson Williams touchdown was so awesome.
Electric. So yeah. JMO is now 5,300 on FanDuel. So he's up 800 from the 4,500 that we paid to get 11 points out of him last week.
Yeah, right.
And honestly, 11 points is like more than my last like 12 plays combined. So, so my Jamal Agnew line play of the week is going to be Dare Ogunbowale of the Houston Texans. So
nice.
Damian Pierce is on IR. He is the lead back in Houston. He's good at catching passes. So the way I figure, Kansas City Houston goes one of two ways. Either Kansas City goes out to a 28-0 first half and then first half lead, and then they just do prevent defense, or Houston somehow keeps it close. If it's the first one, Dari's going to get, you know, 6 catches in garbage time. If Houston keeps it close, it's because the running game is working, and Dari will be a big part of that given the state of the depth chart. So I think it's win-win, if you ask me. And for 5 Gs on FanDuel, I will definitely take that action.
Yeah, I like it.
So we have one more thing to do, and then we're out of here. Ryan, it is not a Kadarius Toney week.
It is definitely not.
It's not. No. We'll revisit this again next week and see where we're at.
By the way, this Vikings game just went to overtime.
Yeah, this shit's nuts.
I cannot believe what is happening with this game. I should have invested a lot of fantasy points on Cousins. But who knew? Cousins got to have at least 35 or 40 fantasy points right now.
This game is bonkers. I will say this still gives me time to get Michael Pittman to hit his over. Would be ideal for me.
What's he at?
He's at 30.
Okay.
So, all right, well, that's it for us here. This was episode 62. We'll see you next week with 63. And until then, I hope that you guys have a great Sunday. All your fantasy teams win and you're in the playoffs maybe.
Yeah. And awesome. Next week, we have so many games on Christmas Eve.
Yeah. We might actually have to move up our recording to earlier in the week so we can get it out before.
Right. Right.
So until then, so maybe check for us a little bit earlier in your feeds.
Maybe we'll have an episode out on like Thursday. Maybe we'll record Wednesday night or something.
Yeah, that'd be super sick. So until then, you guys, good luck to all your teams. Good luck. I hope you have a good Sunday of football. We only got a few Sundays left, so enjoy it.
All right. Good luck, all everyone, right, everybody. And good night.
Peace.
Yeah, it's sad.